You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Seeing the Savior Soar. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
What makes you angry? Our television crew went on the street and asked, what makes you angry? Here are some of the answers. What makes me angry? You really don't want to know. Another person said, people that lie to me. Still another, rudeness, intolerance, racism. Somebody cutting me off in traffic. People tossing their cigarettes out the window when you're driving down the road. Or just stopping and dumping their ashtrays. That really annoys me. And finally, this one. I don't get mad at anything, normally. Let me disagree with that last opinion on the street. Call it mad. Call it irritated, frustrated, annoyed, vexed, whatever. You do get angry. There are many words that describe various expressions of anger. Anger is a natural human emotion. It shows itself in different ways. Sometimes we erupt like a volcano. Other times we simmer like a boiling pot. Sometimes we lash out physically, other times we lash out with words. However we handle the feeling, we all express anger. What makes us angry? One cause is when something I want, or something you want, is blocked. Going back to the people we interviewed on the street, another person said, I get real frustrated and angry when I'm out of control. A situation where I don't have control. Authors Glenn Taylor and Rod Wilson define anger this way. Anger is an experience that occurs when a goal, value, or expectation that I have chosen has been blocked, or when my sense of personal worth is threatened. As I said, everyone gets angry. Everyone, including Jesus. That's what today's message is about. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. As true man, Jesus showed anger. So, what made the Savior soar? Let's look at some Bible stories. The first story of the Savior soar is recorded three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here's how St. Mark tells it. Some people brought little children to Jesus to have him hold them, but the disciples told the people not to do that. When Jesus saw this, he became irritated. He told them, "Don't stop the children from coming to see me. Children like these are part of the kingdom of God." Irritated is a word from the anger family. What irritated Jesus? Remembering what Taylor and Wilson said, that we get angry when a goal is blocked, we see Jesus irritated because his goal was being blocked. Jesus' goal is that all people come to him. In John chapter 12, verse 32, he said, "I will draw all people toward me." But here, his goal was being thwarted, and of all people, by his own disciples. Fast forward from biblical times to your daily routines. Have you ever thwarted the goal of young people coming to Jesus? Do you put your energies into bringing children and teens to know the goodness of Jesus, or are you only concerned about your own generation? And did you ever think that there might be less teen violence in our society if we older people did more to bring young people to Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Psalm 145, verse 4, lays out the goal. One generation will praise your deeds to the next. Jesus got irritated when his disciples kept young people away from him. Let's read another story where we see the divine Son of Man soar. Again, versions of this incident are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it's St. Mark who adds information about Jesus' emotions. Jesus went into a synagogue again. A man who had a paralyzed hand was there. The people were watching Jesus closely. They wanted to see whether he would heal the man on the day of worship so that they could accuse him of doing something wrong. So Jesus told the man with the paralyzed hand, "Stand in the center of the synagogue." Then he asked them, "Is it right to do good or to do evil on the day of worship, to give a person back his health or to let him die?" But they were silent. Jesus was angry as he looked around at them. He was deeply hurt because their minds were closed. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." The man held it out, and his hand became normal again. The Pharisees left, and with Herod's followers, they immediately plotted to kill Jesus. What made the Savior soar in this story? It's simple. It's not only young people whom Jesus once brought to him. God expects us to do good to everyone, and it upsets Jesus when we don't. "This is what the Lord requires from you," says Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "to do what is right, to love mercy, and to live humbly with your God." Now, these religious people put on a good show, but in truth, they were not striving from their hearts to do what God expected of them. They probably didn't realize they were hypocrites, but they were doing exactly what the prophet Isaiah had decried centuries earlier. "These people worship me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is based on rules made by humans." Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. It's significant that Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 19, quoted that verse from Isaiah against the Pharisees. Again, we fast forward to a question you and I must ponder. Are you doing the good that God expects you to do? The answer to that question is a matter of values. How are your values shaped? On the one hand, the Bible opens our minds to what God would have us value: to do good, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. The power of God's Word puts those values into our hearts, making His expectations our sincere desire. On the other hand, human opinions have a way of closing minds. Now, search your heart. Do you go to church and Sunday school and Bible class? Do you privately read the Bible? Do you listen to religious broadcasting programs like this gospel program with your minds open to be taught by God to let His values become your values? Or do you take snippets from God's Word to fortify your own human opinions, using spirituality as a facade for your unchanged heart? The alternatives here are clear. If your values are shaped by God's Word, well and good. With His help, you'll want and do what He expects of you. However, if your values are shaped by your opinions, or the opinions of your family and friends, or whatever the media promotes, then you will not meet God's expectations. That wasn't good for the Pharisees long ago, and it's not good for you today. These Bible stories have taught us that Jesus did not get angry willy-nilly. You and I might do that. But Jesus got angry when religious people were using their energies and emotions to keep others away from Him, the Savior of sinners. In this way, Jesus is the model for how you and I should use the energy of our anger. "Be angry without sinning," says Ephesians 4, verse 26. There are two parts to this divine instruction. The first part acknowledges that we get angry. No problem there. You and I do that all the time. The second part of Ephesians 4:26 is the real instruction from God to which we need our minds opened. Be angry without sinning. Here we have trouble. You can be angry and use that energy in good, God-pleasing ways. That's what Jesus did. In his anger, he did not sin. However, when you are angry and sin, you can hurt others and push them away from the Savior. Has someone ever been pushed away from Jesus because of the way you, a religious person, handled your anger? Let the truth be told. We have all sinned by the ways we have handled our anger at various times. Sometimes our inappropriately expressed anger has pushed people away from knowing Jesus. Yet, here is the good news. As great as Jesus' anger is when his disciples and religious people keep others away from him, his love and forgiveness for you and me, sinners that we are, is even greater. The good news is to see your Savior. See the Savior soar. Not soar at you because of your sins, but see the sores the Savior endured for you. Jesus' anger at the sin that keeps people from God led him to win your forgiveness. See the sores in his hands, wounds inflicted as he was nailed to the cross to pay for your sins. See the sore in his side, a wound inflicted when he was dead, when he had said, "It is finished. The price has been paid once and for all." See the sores in his feet, wounds that he showed to the disciples after his resurrection to assure them that he is the risen Savior of life. Jesus is the model for how you and I should handle our anger. We should control the energies connected with our anger so that more people come to know Jesus. But before that, put your faith in Jesus as the Savior who brings you forgiveness for your sins, for all the times when you have not done the good God expects of us all. One final incident where we see the Savior soar is the cleansing of the temple. Jesus went into the temple courtyard and began to throw out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the money changers' tables and the chairs of those who sold pigeons. He would not let anyone carry anything across the temple courtyard. Then he taught them by saying, "Scripture says, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a gathering place for thieves.'" I have not found any commentator who suggests that we should act the same way, using force to clean out the church. But there is one thing about which many commentators agree. The temple was his house. The sacrifices in that temple foreshadowed his perfect sacrifice upon the cross. Jesus entered that building to dominate it as his own when he was only 12 years old. That earthly building pointed to his church, to all who have received his gift of forgiveness and believe he is their Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 say that the Christian church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Jesus had the right to clear from the temple anyone and anything that did not serve his goal. Let that be your goal. Clear from your heart the emotions that keep people from knowing the goodness of God. Test your thoughts by the Word of God to see if his values are yours, if his expectations are your desire. Whatever a person's nationality, whatever the race, whatever the color of skin, whatever the age, whatever the hygiene, whatever the level of education, whatever the part of town in which they live, whatever, the Savior wants them to be brought to know his goodness. The disciples, who had used their energies to keep little children away from Jesus, became missionaries to the whole world when they knew the power of His forgiveness and life. His Spirit transforms the energies of your anger so that you can work toward His goal of bringing the goodness of God to others. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Be angry without sinning. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.